Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. You know, I hurt my back, and every time those kids want you to pick them up. And every time I feel a little better, I pick them up. And I'm right back to where I began. But praise the Lord. I'm trying to remember, you're feeling better, don't pick them up. Hallelujah. But God is good. Praise the name of Jesus. Now we're going to continue in the book of Matthew. We're almost to the end of the book of Matthew, and it's in chapter 26 and verse 47. 26 and verse 47. So, praise you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Forty-seven. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hands and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" That's a lot. "But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Have you come out as against a robber with sword and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Praise the Lord. Yeah, somebody put it. Don't worry, this is... We all knew we'll work out all the bugs in time. All the bugs will be worked out. Don't worry about it. I could be very loud. If praise the Lord. You know, every time I sit down with the scriptures, I say, "Lord, what you want to teach us?" And sometimes I don't know what he wants to teach us, and then other times it just comes. So we're going to look at this text, and we're going to take out a few things that I pray and hope that it would be beneficial to your life. The first thing, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask God as we look at this text that you would speak to our hearts and change our minds and help us to have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. They were expecting a war. Do you know that? They were expecting a war. They came with clubs and swords, and they were ready to take the Messiah. I remember when I work at Sears. I was there for a while. I was managing Sears, and I told you guys that one day the DM showed up. I knew, oh boy, my job is expired. I don't know why I thought that. I see the DM all the time, but that time, it's like the Holy Spirit told me what was going to take place, and sure enough, they called me down to the office, and they let me go because one of the things they didn't like about me, they told me I was split. I was split between my job and the church. And when they fired me, I guess they were expecting me to act up. So when I gave my keys, they called loss prevention, the people who take, and they had to follow me all the way back to my office so I could get my things and follow me out the building because they were expecting a war. You see, they were coming for Jesus and they were expecting him to retaliate. I praise God that we are not like the world. I praise God that I have the Spirit of God in me. I praise God that he left with us Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit dwells inside of us and he leads us and teaches us on how to respond. They wasn't expecting the kind of response I gave. And they wasn't expecting the kind of response they would get from Jesus. What do we have to remember as believers? Ephesians tells us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. We forget that as you look at this scripture, we have enemies within and out there. But we have to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers that are invisible to what we can see. The world expects or wants us to act just like they do. They do. They want us to act just like they do. I was about 10, maybe 12, and I was playing pool with some friends, and one of them got angry. And I was going to church back then, and he took his pew stick, what did they call it? Cue. And he hit me with it pretty hard, and all I did was I turned around and walked home. He was expecting a fight. My little brother wasn't like that. I'm walking home and I turned around. My little brother picked up a rock. And as that boy turned his back to walk away, there went that rock. All I hear was doo-doop. There was a difference in the response. Why? I was trusting God. My brother wasn't. And the world wants us to act just like they do. How are you going to respond? We have to respond knowing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Sometimes, not everyone that is with you is for you. Not everyone that is with you is for you. I don't know why we get surprised whenever we get betrayed or somebody that is very close to us does something that we don't like. I don't know why we are surprised. Because according to Scripture, not everybody that is with us is for us. Now the betrayer, verse 48, now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man, seize him. And he came to Jesus and he greeted him, Rabbi. He recognized who he was. He knew who Jesus was, Rabbi. And then he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. I think Luke says, he says, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Not everybody that is with you is for you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49 says, I come to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and now I'm in great distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on the earth? Boy, I wish that's what he came to do. Now, he says, peace on earth, goodwill to man. But here he says, peace on the earth. No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, one household, there will be five divided. Three against two and two against one. There will be a divided father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. What he's saying, these people that is with you should be close to you. They should be loving you. You should have a good love relationship. But when Jesus came, a division came because those who love Christ is not going to like the ones who don't love Christ is not going to like the ones who love Christ. There's going to be a division. And look how close that division is. Father and son, mother and daughter, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, where it should be a close relationship. Why are we surprised that when you turn your life over to God and you're living for God, why are you surprised that everybody that is close to you is not for you? Why? Because we are not spending time looking into the scriptures and see, Jesus says, look, it's going to happen. Listen, Judas sat at the table with Jesus. Judas ate with Jesus. Judas walked around with Jesus. Judas carried the spending money. Judas experienced the presence of the Messiah. Judas was a friend. But what we have to remember, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers. I don't understand. I think that is one of the biggest betrayal you'll ever find. A guy came in when I was manager at Sears and he wanted a job. He had a monitoring mechanism on his legs. He could only leave home to work, go find a job. He had distorted some stuff from the government, and he came looking for a job. And after interviewing him, I liked him. My boss liked him, so we hired him. And we became very good friends. I went and visited him as at his home. And when we had Anya, he told me, take some time off, don't worry. Then he said to me, look, you are a preacher, you love to go to church, so why don't you schedule me on Sundays and you go to church? And then one day I got called to the office. And my manager is saying, so how come you take all the Sundays off and you don't give him any? How come when he had his baby, he didn't get much time off, but when you had yours, you had a lot? Now, when he had his, he said to me, I don't need any time off. I don't want any time off because my mother-in-law is going to be there and I don't really like my mother-in-law. I don't want to be there. In fact, I went to his house, help him do stuff. But yet, he was trying to get my job. Folks, sometimes you are betrayed by some of the people that are so close to you. You should not be surprised. The difference was I was living for Christ. He was not. It had to been, I don't know about you, but if you were in that situation, if you were in Jesus' shoes, you invite this person over to your house, you cook a meal, you share it with that person, you entrusted that person with your finances. I mean, you guys did all this stuff for 3 years, you guys hang out together. I wonder how you would have feel when he came and betrayed you with a kiss. I wonder if we will respond like the world or will we respond by like Christ. You know, Jesus was a willing participant. Do you all know that? I used to watch What You're Gonna Do When They Come For You. Have you ever watched that show? I've watched that show. Well, I remember the song. Yeah. And every time they knock on the door, most of the people did not go willingly. They were guilty of sin, and they would fight, they would run. Jesus was a willing participant. They came for him, and he already knew what was going on. How do I know that it was a willing? In verse 46, Jesus said, arise, let us go. The betrayer is on his way. Not only that, Jesus said to him when he kissed him, friend, do what you came to do. Lord, help me. I wonder how many of us could say that. Luke 22:48 said, Jesus said, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And sometimes, even when we know Jesus, we love Jesus, we are following Jesus, we can do some of the most stupid things. Here comes Peter, pull out his sword, whoop, cut off the ear of a servant. He is ready to fight. He is ready to defend the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is ready to defend the Messiah. And Jesus said, hold on, put your sword back. They that live by the sword is going to die by the sword. Here's what I don't understand. What is Peter doing with a sword? What is believers doing with a weapon? A believer with a weapon? But Jesus told them. In Luke, if you go to Luke, Jesus said, Now I'm about to leave you, so now it's time you put some money in your purse. Now it's time that you get a sword. Did Jesus mean let's fight? I believe, this is what I believe, the scripture, I believe that Jesus was giving them permission to defend themselves, but not all the time. We have to use wisdom and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that church in Texas, where that person went in and shoot up that and kill many Christians, I guarantee you, if there was a few Christians with gun in there, he wouldn't kill that many. I wish there was one there to pull out the gun and put him down. I believe in the Constitution that we should be able to bear arms. I fully believe it. Because sometimes we don't have to sit down and let them roll right over us. My grandmother had a saying. She said, son, sometimes you have to stoop to conquer, but do not stoop too low that they pee on your head. What Jesus is saying, there's going to become a time that you will have to defend yourself. You will have to stand up for what you believe in. But you have to remember that I'm sending you the Comforter. I am going to put myself inside of you. And when I become inside of you, you're going to be guided by me. Let me tell you something. Sometimes that old flesh wants to flare up. Want to pull out that sword and cut that ears off, no matter how much in the inside is saying, don't do it. Oh, Jesus. Well, if he had gotten the head, we'd have a better miracle. Jesus would have taken it and put it back on. Folks, even as believers, we have to use wisdom. We have to use the greatest tool we have in all our life, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. I can only talk about me, and you probably go hear the stories over and over again. Working at Save-A-Lot, lost my job at CS, working at Save-A-Lot. And my manager, we had to come in very early in the morning, offload the truck, 3:30 in the morning. I had to get there by 2:30 to offload the truck. And you cannot leave until the truck is put up. So when it's your turn to offload the truck, you can't leave until the truck is put up. It wasn't my turn to offload the truck. It was somebody else's. And all day, he is walking around with a phone in his ear, and I come to help him put up the truck. So I'm working hard, expecting to leave my job at 3, 4 o'clock. 3, 4 o'clock comes, and he sends the guy home that offloaded the truck and kept me. Boy, was I steaming. Because it was my time to go home. He offloaded the truck. When I offload the truck, I stay till it's done. But what the manager, he wants the one that working to stay and the one that not working to go. Boy, I didn't like it. And the flesh flared up. I don't think I've ever talked to my manager with that tone of voice in all my career with him. And he had to been shocked because he just stand up and looked at me. And I don't know, most people have never seen me in that mode. Boy, and I was hurt because I felt I was being wrong because I work doesn't mean I need to be punished. Sometimes you have to stand up and don't allow people to pee on your head. But this wasn't the time. Because Jesus was a willing participant. Look what he told Peter. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then How then should the scriptures be fulfilled that I must do so? Watch Jesus says to Peter, hold on. You don't have to fight for me. Because all I have to do is say the word. And my Father is listening. Now, that statement and what Jesus did in the garden just hours before, Father, if it's all possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will. Not my will, your will. But he knew at any time, think about it, at any time, Jesus could have said, Father, and here come legions of angels to stop the activity. Jesus was a willing participant to his call. He knew what his calling was. He knew what direction he had to go. And he was willing to let God, his Father, have his way. Lord, give us the same mindset. Some of you get called and you have a cup to drink from. But when the gang comes and the persecutors come and they come to take you away, you operate in the flesh. Jesus said, I'm a willing participant here, Peter, because if I wasn't willing, I can call the Father's name and he would take care of business. Here's what I understand from this scripture. Scripture will be fulfilled. Folks, scripture will be fulfilled. We serve a God that his word is true and his word will come to pass. Jesus said, how then should the scripture be fulfilled? Then it must be so. Verse 55 and 56 says this, and at the hour Jesus said to the crowd, have you come out against a robber with sword and clubs to capture me? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching you. And you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. You know, one of the scriptures I cannot wait to see fulfilled is the one that the angel said, this same Jesus that you see ascended will come back in like manner. Folks, scripture is going to be fulfilled. There's coming a day that Jesus Christ is coming back. Why? The scripture says so. And if it's in the scriptures, it's coming to pass. That should make you excited. Here's the part I don't like. I don't know if you ever read any scriptures you don't like. I have some I don't like. But like it or not, it's what is how it's going to be. Look, I don't like the fact having pain in my body. I don't like it. I'm a wimp when coming to pain. Ask my wife. I climb into bed and I turn wrong and I feel that pain in my back. I go, you know, and she just said, I'll trade you in. Listen, I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. I don't like it at all. I don't think Christians should suffer. But that's me. That's not scripture. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. See that? I don't like that. I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to be in a position where I'm serving God with all my might, with all my strength. I'm doing God's will, and then I have a few people that is really with me, and we going through
thick and thin, and we're doing everything together. And soon when I need them the most, they're gone. Boy, that, you ever been lonely? Have you ever been lonely? I remember my loneliest hour. I don't think I've ever shared this. Came to America in 84. And after I had nowhere to go and I went to live with this lady and her son, she took me in as a son and I was living there. And Thanksgiving came around. And I think in Thanksgiving, and then she and her son left for New York and left me alone in the house. Here am I. I thought they thought me as a son. Thanksgiving. And let me tell you, one of the loneliest time to be by yourself is a holiday. And I laid there in the flesh. Now, this is a church-going, God-loving, choir-singing member. And I said to myself, self, they abandoned me. I mean, I was lonely. And the thought went through my mind. I could just drink that bottle of Clorox right there and they just come back and find me dead. In the flesh. I don't know how Jesus was feeling, but it had to be a very lonely feeling that could take you to the point where you don't want to be. But what you do then, you have to remember this. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus knew that because he said, don't you know I could just call my Father and the angels will react? Jesus understood it doesn't matter how lonely he gets, that his Father was right there. We have to get to the point where we know we serve a God that is always with us. Don't matter the situation, don't matter the pain, don't matter the loneliness, don't matter what is going on in your life. Sometimes we feel, Lord, why am I going through this? Don't you see how I'm serving you? Don't you realize that I'm doing your will? I came down here. I gave everything up. I gave throne up. I gave it all up. And on top of that, I put on this filthy old flesh. And they should have recognized that I put on their flesh and look at them, they're gone. But that wasn't his attitude. Because he said, Lord, Father, not my will, but your will be done. You know, I praise the Lord. I didn't take myself up on that offer. Because way back then, I knew God had a call on my life. And when God have a call in your life, there's principalities and powers at work that want to destroy everything that God is trying to do in you. But we have to remember, we have a Father that is always with us. Let us pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, for your love that you sent your only Son. And he can identify with everything that we go through, we went through, and that we are going to go through, because the scripture said he identified. And Lord, we see it in your word, because here he is, the Messiah. And at the time of his need, where his friends should give him this kind of support that he needs, they're gone. But Lord, let us have the same heart, the same mind. As Philippians says, let this mind be in us as in Christ Jesus. And Father, let us serve you with everything we got until that day when we see you face to face and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Don't forget, folks, I didn't write it down, but I'll say it quick. We have a work day coming.